There are several different shades of meaning to the word enjoy. One of them is this: to bring or to experience joy. A second definition involves pleasure, to derive pleasure therefrom, or to receive some form of pleasure. A third definition is satisfaction, to bring satisfaction or to use with satisfaction. The opposite of enjoy is grief, suffering, and endurance. My friends, as I look about and I view Christians as they practice their Christianity, what I see on the part of many individuals are individuals who are enduring God and all of the things that are associated with Him. By that I mean this: they act as if it is a pain to be a Christian. They act as if it is some kind of a chore, as if it is some kind of a burden. My friends, God never intended for us to merely endure Him. God desires that every one of us enjoys Him. Therefore, the title of our lesson this morning is Enjoying God. And we're going to talk about some things that you and I must do if we are truly going to experience joy, pleasure, and satisfaction in our relationship with the Almighty God. First, if you and I are going to enjoy God, we must perceive of Him as a real being. My friends, you and I are not able to see God at this present time. He is invisible, isn't He? If we were to see Him, we would not see Him in a bodily form, because God is a spirit and He does not exist like you and I exist. And because He's invisible, because He is a spirit, oftentimes we mistake the fact that God is a real being. He is living. He is animated. He is active. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse 4, I long, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh longeth for, listen to Him, the living God. Folks, the psalmist understood that this God that he was serving was a real, living, animated being. And you and I must understand that same thing. God is a being that experiences all the emotions that you and I experience. The Bible says that He can be grieved, Genesis 6, verse 5. He can be angered, Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. He is a God that can be a God of great compassion, Psalm 103, verse 13. He is a God that is a God that can be full of joy, Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5. And He is a God who can be greatly distressed by mankind, Isaiah 63, verse 9. You and I have many relationships in this world, do we not? And folks, many of those relationships bring us great joy, do they not? I don't know about you, but I love the season that we're about to enter because of the holidays. I don't enjoy all the money. I don't enjoy all the fanfare. I don't enjoy all the commercial aspects of it. But guess what I do enjoy? I do enjoy those times that you're able to spend with family. Folks, that brings person joy, doesn't it? My little grandson, he's 9 years old. He was here for a month this summer, folks. That involvement with him brought me great joy during those 30 days. We have joy with our spouses. We have joy with our parents. We have joy with our friends. Relationships bring joy. And God is a real, living being just like you and I in many respects. And that relationship that you and I can share with Him can bring immense joy if we will allow it. God is a real being. Point number two. If you and I are truly going to enjoy God, we must perfect a relationship with Him. Now, the relationship that God desires of us is that of a father and a child, isn't it? And the Bible tells us exactly what you and I need to do in order to enter into a father-son, father-daughter relationship with God. Paul summarizes it very quickly in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul almost echoes, does he not, the words of Jesus in Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Folks, the very moment you and I obey the gospel, the very moment that you and I, by faith, put on our Savior in the waters of baptism, you and I arise to be children of the living God. That's the perfect relationship that every one of us need to sustain with God in order to find happiness in Him. When we find that relationship, God's going to be the perfect Father. He is going to provide for His children. He is going to protect His children. He is going to prepare His children, and He's going to punish His children when they stand in need thereof. Folks, here's what you and I need to understand. Remember, God's a real being, is He not? And He wants to be our Father. And what He is constantly doing, He is constantly surveying the entirety of this earth, and He longs and He yearns and He deeply desires for man to come to Him. One of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible is found in Luke, the 15th chapter. In that chapter, we find a son who has gone to his father, demanded of him his inheritance, and he departs from the father's house. He goes into what the Bible refers to as a strange land. And there that son spends all of his money, does horrible, terrible things, riotous living, the Bible says. He winds up feeding pigs in a hog pen. Finally, that young boy comes to himself. He realizes that even the servants in his father's house have it better than I do. I'll return to my father and I'll beg his forgiveness and tell him I am not worthy to be called even a servant in your house. The Bible says that that young man arose and went. Now listen to this. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him and ran unto him and fell upon his neck and kissed him. Luke 15, verse 20. Folks, that is a beautiful picture, is it not? Of the Almighty God and His longing and looking for mankind to come to Him. And the very moment that any of us begin to draw near unto God, guess what He does? He draws nigh unto us. God wants a relationship with us, and we must perfect that relationship if we're ever going to be happy in God. Thirdly, if you and I are truly going to enjoy God, we must prize all the things that He has done for us. Yesterday, we had a men's breakfast with Arlington and Dean Rowe. There's also one guy there from Lake Forest. Folks, we were well represented. 15 hungry men pigged out on a buffet. Ronnie from Arlington, he spoke to us yesterday, and here's what he told us. One of the points that he made was this. If we are truly going to be the men that we need to be individuals of thanksgiving unto God Almighty. And he noted how our whole nation does not give thanks for the things that it receives. None of us as parents have ever experienced that, have we? Everything that we've ever done for our children has always come back with just tons and tons and tons of thank yous, hasn't it? Absolutely not. And folks, the same thing happens in our relationship with the Almighty God. God has done so many things for us, wonderful things. Things that are almost beyond our comprehension, and yet do we really prize the things that God has done? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show what is the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Folks, did you hear all the words in that passage of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, talking about what God has done for us? He has extended unto us love. Not just any kind of love, but a great love. He has extended unto us grace. Not just any kind of grace, but an exceeding amount of grace. He has given unto us His mercy. He has displayed unto us His kindness, folks. Those are some of the things that God has given unto us. And because of those things, we are saved. We are no longer sinners. We have been raised up and made to sit in heavenly places. My friends, we have received things that you and I cannot even comprehend. And yet, how much do we truly prize those things? The question that I asked was, why? Why don't we prize them? Oh, that's a whole other lesson. We could be here another hour, could we not? Let me very quickly touch upon three or four things. One of the reasons we don't prize these things is because these things are spiritual in nature. They don't have to do with the outer man. They have to do with the inner man. And so oftentimes, we as people here on earth are more concerned about the physical than we are the spiritual. Secondly, these blessings are invisible, aren't they? You know, it's not like God buys us an iPad and sends it to us. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful? Open up the mailbox tomorrow, everybody gets an iPad. In there, you open it up, it says a note. From God. Enjoy your iPad. I love you, God. Boy, whoo, look what God's done. Just go crazy, wouldn't we? It'd make headlines all over the world. And we'd be elated. But folks, these blessings that God gives are not tangible necessarily. They are invisible, intangible. The forgiveness of our sins. Raising us up together. Making us His children. Those are not things that you can just touch and reach out and see and understand. But folks, they are just as real. But because they're invisible, we don't prize them as highly. Another reason we do not prize them as highly is because these things were given unto us some 2,000 years ago, were they not? A different place, a different culture. A different time, so far removed from us that we almost forget about it unless we come together on this day and assemble around this table and think about that death 2,000 years ago. Folks, it's so easy for us not to prize what God has given us. You and I need to increase our wisdom, increase our understanding, increase our knowledge in His holy calling, in the glory of His inheritance, in the power of His might to usward, in all of the things that have been wrought unto us in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20. Folks, we've got to prize what God has done for us. Fourthly, if you and I are truly going to enjoy God, we must perform the commandments of God, watch this, with understanding, folks. There is no doubt that God commands His people in the pages of His holy word. And oftentimes when we look at those commandments, how do we look at them? Do we look at them with the proper understanding that we ought to have? Not normally. Individuals look at those commandments and they say, "Oh, those commandments are so hard. Oh, those commandments are so restrictive. Oh, those commandments take away all of my freedom." Oftentimes I'll see individuals in the building, and I'll ask them, I said, "Are you two being good?" I said that to two ladies this morning. Here's the answer that I get back sometimes. "Well, that's no fun." Now, I won't say who that was. Okay, she knows exactly who it is. She's sitting beside Larry. Now, she said, and I never said her name. But you see, that's not how she feels. But folks, that's the way some people feel, isn't it? If I do what God wants me to do, I can't gamble. I can't curse. I can't drink. I can't smoke. I can't have sex out of marriage. I can't have an extramarital affair. What fun is that? That's exactly how individuals view the commands of God. Folks, I've got to get a different understanding of God's commands. Did you know that? Let me give you three reasons God wants us to obey. Number one, so that you and I will become like Him. Every command of God has behind it the nature of the Almighty God. There's something in His character, something about God that caused Him to tell us either to do or not to do this particular thing. "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar," the Bible says, 1 John 2, verse 3. You see, folks, the only way that I can really know God is to obey the commandments. Because when I obey the commandments, I become just like Him. Secondly, the commands of God have been given in order for you and me to be in fellowship with the Almighty God. Don't you want a fellowship with God? Don't you want to share in all of His blessings? Don't you want to share in His power and might and glory? Don't you want to look forward to that time when you can be with Him in the hereafter? "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Folks, God has given His commandments so that you and I can be in a relationship with Him. That's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. Thirdly, God has given us His commandments so that you and I can be prosperous in this world. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 1, 1 through 3. The man who's blessed is the man who desires the law of God. who meditates in it day and night, who keeps it. And what is the result? He is like a bountiful tree planted by the rivers of water. Folks, have you ever seen a tree in a desert? That's not the kind of tree I want to be, is it you? You ever seen a tree planted right by a river? Wow. Luscious, green, and always fruit-bearing. That's why God has given us His commandments, folks. God hasn't given His commands to restrict us and to make us have a nasty, horrible, terrible life. Oh no, He's given us His commands so that you and I can live wonderful lives, even in the here and now. Point number five. If I'm going to enjoy God, I must be persuaded that God desires my good, folks. There's so many people have this picture of God sitting upon His throne as if He's some mean old judge up there. And all He's waiting to do is for you to break the law so that He can immediately sentence you to hell so you can burn for eternity. That's the picture some people have of God. Folks, that is not the God we serve. You and I need to be persuaded that the God I serve desires my very best. Let's read three verses that prove that. The first one is Hebrews 8 verse 12. And I will be merciful to their iniquities. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Folks, God is not a God who wants to hold our transgressions against us. He is not a God who longs for us to stand before Him so He can convict us to a devil's hell. No, God is a God who wants to outpour His grace and mercy and cleanse us from all of our transgressions. When we stand before Him, He wants to look at us and say, "What sin? I see no sin in you," because all has been forgiven. Second passage, John 10, verse 10. Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Oftentimes we think He's talking about eternal life. And it may be involved in this passage, but the Greek word there is zoe. And that word literally means this: I am come so that you can have animated life, a vibrant, exuberant life in the here and now. Folks, God wants us to be happy and prosperous and abundant right now. Titus 1 verse 2 tells us the following: in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Folks, before God even created the world, you know what He had in mind for man? Eternal life. And He made a promise, even before the world began, that I will have a place where man can go so that he can live forever. Does that sound like a God who wants to punish you in a devil's hell? Not to me. Not to me. I've got to be persuaded that God wants my good and not my bad. Point number six. If you and I are truly going to enjoy the Almighty God, you and I must permit Him to permeate every area of our lives. We compartmentalize our lives, don't we? Right now, we're in the church compartment, aren't we? A few minutes ago, maybe 45 minutes ago or so, we left our home compartment. When we finally get out of this joint, we'll go out to eat somewhere, and now we're in our social component. This afternoon, some of us might engage in our recreational component. Many of us have relationships with other individuals, and that's our friend component. And as you look at all those areas of your life, some of them, oh yes, I see the need to include God. But guess what? Some of them, oh no, God's not in that relation, that part of my life. In some, out of some. And we wonder why in the world we're so miserable. Folks, we're not living lives of consistency. We're not living lives of integrity. We're not living lives of faithfulness if that is the manner in which we live our lives. And it will make you a miserable Christian if you do. You see, here's what the truth is. When you and I obeyed the gospel of Christ, we became something, did we not? Romans 6 verse 4 says that we arose to walk in newness of life. That old dead man of sin was put away from us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 that we came into Christ as a new creature. Not that old man, but a brand new individual. At that point, we were bought with a price, folks. No more do we belong to Satan. No more do we belong to self. Now we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul understood exactly the concept. For he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 verse 20. Folks, everywhere I go, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in this church building, whether it's on a recreational facility somewhere, it doesn't matter where I am. Guess what? I am a representative of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I live that way in every area of my life. And I am consistent from start to finish therein. Granted, it's a difficult task, isn't it? But folks, if you take an area of your life and you just mark God out of it, you can rest assured your life will be miserable, not only in that area, but in the other areas as well. God must be permitted to permeate everything that you and I do. Folks, God never intended for you to suffer as a Christian. Now, I don't mean that from the standpoint of physical persecution coming your way. I'm talking about from your own attitude. I just can't hardly stand this Christianity stuff. It's just so hard. It's so miserable. There's no fun. God never intended for that, folks. God intended for us to wake up every day and have joy in the Lord, did he not? And if you and I will do the things that we've talked about in this lesson, that joy can be ours. If you and I will perceive that God is a real person, if we will perfect our relationship with the Almighty God, if we will prize everything that God has done, if we will perform His commandments with understanding, if we'll be persuaded that He wants our good and not evil for us, and if we'll allow Him to permeate every area of our life, you'll find there's joy and being in a relationship with God. The Apostle Paul makes an interesting statement in Philippians 1 verse 23, the second part of that verse. And here's what he says. For me, it is better to be with Christ. Why was that the case, folks? It's better to die, to depart, and be with Christ. You want to know why? Because he had a relationship with him here. It's not exactly the relationship that I want. And when I die, guess what? I can have exactly the relationship I desire. I can see him. I can hold him. I can touch him. I can talk to him. I can live with him throughout all eternity. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You'll never have that desire unless you enjoy God here. Maybe this morning you need to make a decision about your relationship with God. Maybe it needs to be perfected. You know who God is. You believe in God. But yet you have never yet come into an official relationship with Him. A father-child relationship. Won't you do that? The steps are simple, aren't they? If you believe, you repent of sins, confess His name, and are immersed in water for the forgiveness of those transgressions. You come up, born into the family of God. What a joyous blessing, folks. Dear Christian, what about you? How do you live your Christian life? Is it full of joy, full of exuberance, full of abundance? Or is it one that you just kind of tried through? And you hope, when you get to the end of life, you make it. Folks, that's not the kind of relationship God wants for you. Maybe you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Change some things in your life. Live every aspect of your life in harmony with His will. If you need to do that this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?